You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, August 7th. Is it August 17th already? Wow, man, where's this month going? August 17th, 2015. You're listening to episode 167. No, 68.
Oh!
Oh my gosh, man, time is flying by. And my name's Rob. There's Jason. Howdy.
Here we are.
We're
recording here. Another show.
Another one of these things that we do now and then.
Yeah.
On a regular basis every week. Yeah, how's it going? What's new? What's your deal?
Shoveling lots of dirt.
Shoveling dirt. Yeah. There's a big pile of dirt in your driveway. It's a
huge pile. 10 yeah. cubic yards, to
10
be exact.
10 cubic yards.
You can buy mass quantities of dirt at
sure
reasonable
can.
Prices.
Turns out dirt's everywhere.
Yeah. Actually, it's great. I knew the guy, so he gave me a discount.
Oh, even better.
I was like,
it's like, yo, dude, I hear you got some dirt. How about you hook me up, man?
He works for a landscaping company, but he was like, I'm like, yeah, I live in Scotts. He's like, I know, but I'm not going to put that in yet. It's going to charge you more. So...
That's
and then
cool.
I told him we hired someone to help us, and he was like, oh, so landscaper discount. Okay, that's cool. He's a good dude.
You mean your brother-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. He is a professional landscaper.
Oh, is he? Okay, so. Well, hey, you're good then. Yeah, you didn't lie that much.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, I wasn't like, he knew who I was talking about. It's not like, I mean, he was just, yeah. He's a good friend, and he knows that I'm going to buy more dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a salesman. He's allowed to do that, so mm-hmm. That's what it did.
There you go. There you go.
Some salesmen are good people. Not
that's
a whole
rare.
Lot.
It's rare, though.
So,
most of them are not.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about a game I didn't talk about last time.
Oh, okay.
Milkman.
Milk, not Milkman. It's Milkman.
Milk, whatever. I don't even care.
I do.
Somebody
Everyone
asked Jason Tagmeyer to say Mario. He'll be like, Mario? Flip Flory does it too, and it cracks me up. Nobody can make money from milk anymore when you say Mario.
Or pillow? You mean pillow, right?
Pillow. I say pillow. I don't care. Whatever. Suck it.
Go on.
I'm going to smother you with a pillow.
Milkman.
So anyways, it was Joshua J. Mills' game, and it's this fun game where you roll dice, and mm-hmm. you're trying to deliver milk to places, and
okay.
It's really good. So
okay.
Thanks, Josh, for letting me play it.
Yeah,
and,
I'm sorry I didn't
get
to.
If you see Josh at a convention, play it. Maybe he'll come to Grand Con. The guy drives everywhere, so maybe he'll come to Grand Con.
He's a driver.
North
he's not,
Carolina,
he's not afraid of a trip.
Did you see the tweet from some fat kid? That's that guy's, that's his Twitter handle. I'm not like just calling someone fat,
yeah.
But that's his Twitter handle where it was like a picture of the Iron Design, the karate medal.
Yeah.
And it had like loser cards. And he's like, hey Josh, Tagmeyer wants to know if this is the right thing. And it was like Joshua Mills,
1-2-3 loser street,
South Carolina.
Yeah.
and Mills responded and said, the worst is that it says South.
Yes.
He's from North Carolina.
Right.
He said, I feel like North Carolina should just change South Carolina's name to North Carolina.
Yeah.
So that was funny. But, we played a lot of prototypes and it was fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little more about Gen Con stuff, I think.
I guess a little bit more.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about some questions we had.
Yeah.
And then Rob's going to pitch a game that I played and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little more loosey-goosey with our feature of the week this year.
Yeah. But we'll get back. We'll get back on track next week. But that's okay. Well, before we forget, let's remind everybody about the contest.
Yes, the Grand Con contest.
You get two tickets and two t-shirts for winning this contest.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a hard contest to win. All you have to do is take a picture of yourself mm-hmm. and or who maybe you'll come with, you know, or maybe a whole group of people. I don't care. A picture of you or other people ready to go to Grand Con.
Yes.
Grand Con is a gaming and comics convention. Remember mm-hmm. that when you're doing this. Show us maybe how you're going to get there, maybe what you're dressing like, all this stuff you're bringing,
mm-hmm.
and then take an awesome picture and tweet right. it. Tweet it with hashtag BTG Grand.
Yep.
If you can, mention Grand Con, mm-hmm. their Twitter account, and also mention podcast BTG. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, though. Just at least got to do the BTG Grand in there.
Right.
You got to do it by August 31st. It's a short contest, guys, but it's one of the best prizes we've given away.
It's going to be great. Now, keep in mind, Grand Con is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it is September 25th, 26th, and 27th. So you'll need to get yourself there. But once you're there, you can get in for free, and you get a t-shirt, and you can bring a friend.
Right.
So that's pretty sweet.
So strongly suggest mm-hmm. that you are only going to enter if you're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win... and then you find out you can't come, that you let us know so we can pick a runner up and let them win.
Yep.
Or you can give the tickets to someone. We just want to make sure they get used, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we know a lot of people that will be coming. Since we know a lot of people that will be coming that may enter the contest, Mark and Brian will be the ones judging the contest.
Not up to us.
We've gotten to know so many of you good listeners out there, builders who become friends of ours, that we no longer feel okay judging contests.
Right.
Well, except for the informal ones we host.
Right.
Speaking of which, you know what we should do today on our feature of the week as well?
What?
We should go through our BTG rumors and we should pick our first winner.
Oh, dude, that's a fantastic idea.
Let's do that. Let's do that right now.
Let's do this now.
Well, I'm pulling it up. You talk about the CCG.
Okay, yeah.
How great that was.
So, obviously we've been talking about this for a while. So we got the BTG CCG and we ordered 20 copies of it. And Jason and I each had 10 to give away. So, you know, it's our little 14 card game, and actually it ended up being a total of 18 cards in the, was it 18 or was it 20? 18 cards in each, in the deck altogether, that each player would have to pare down to a group of seven, and then each player plays the game with seven cards. So, it went fantastic. We gave those away. By the end of the show, I think we only had one deck left to give away.
Yep, Yeah, I think I have one.
I think you have one, yeah. I got rid of all of mine. Everybody's excited. I think several people tweeted that they played it at us, or played it during the con, or since the con, and it sounds like everybody's been having a really good time with it. We're really happy with the end result. I mean, it's really goofball and silly, but it's still a fun little two-player kind of back-and-forth game, and we are going to keep on making more promo cards. So when we get to Grand Con and we go to future conventions as well, we're going to always have the base deck available to give away, and we're also going to make special one-off promo cards that are just for that specific event. And each one of these cards has unique artwork on them. We work with some friends and some artists on Fiverr.com to get some good stuff put together for that. So we're really having a great time making that happen. And actually, come to think, we need to jump on our promo cards for Grand Con because we don't have a lot of time to get those ordered.
I just ordered mine today.
Oh, good.
And unlike you know what yours is going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So unlike the ones that we announced before, we're actually going to keep these secret until Grand Con.
Right.
And I think that'll be cool. I think that'll add a little something.
Yeah.
Are we going to bring the old promos from Gen Con or no? We're not going to bring those. So So for now, we're not going to bring those. Eventually, once we get enough promos out there, I think we'll have them available so you could order a pack of them off. We want to make sure you could get them if you wanted them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, because we understand not everybody can come to every event, sure, and it's only fair. And sometimes if we do prizes for contests, maybe we'll do all the cards, you know?
Yeah,
Because we can order all those off Grand Con. So,
So with the one that we have left from Gen Con, though, we need to go through our BTG rumors, and we need to pick our favorite.
Yes. And if you're willing to wait, you could probably get it sent to you with the Grand Con special cards, but you'd have to wait till after Grand Con. So, but we'll leave that up to the winner, just because I want to make sure.
Okay. So first one I've got here is from Some Fat Kid. He says, I've heard that Jason and Rob originated the free parking house rule at Monopoly.
It's possible.
Believe it or not, this is from Scott Martell. Believe it or not, the podcast started as a Kickstarter. However, it was in the art section, so we never saw it. we've got a couple here from Bo Severson. Rocket Records is coming to stores November 20th, 2015. Look for it. Bit of insider knowledge for today. Rob has patented the offset card system. Expects it to pay massive royalties. That's pretty good. Another one here from Andrew Lennox. Andy Lennox is not real. He is Jason's imaginary friend.
That's good.
Some Fat Kid says, Jason Slingerland and Jason Tagmeyer, you're not trying very hard. Oh, he's just making fun of us.
Oh.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Let's see. This is from Seth Goslin. We have a couple from him. Seth Goslin says, did you hear how Jason has sworn off of variable player powers in the latest podcast? He likened them to roll and move.
Never will happen.
Next one from Seth. Remember, Rob's Kickstarter campaign for Toilet Wars begins in 3 days. That was back on July 10th. That didn't happen. A couple here from Tom Gerganis. Rob, Jason, and Patrick from Crash Games to star in Goonies 2.
What?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah. Next one from Tom. Water balloon washout is on the Mensa list for 2016.
I wish it was. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
It's a game for smart people and children.
Neil Roberts says, at Gen Con, you'll meet bad game designers, Rob and Jason.
Hashtag Oxford comma.
Right. Okay, Senior Bob says, I once saw Rob feed some animals when there was a sign that clearly stated, don't feed the animals. Ouch.
Can't do that, Rob.
Not a rule follower. How about this one? Jason leaves dead fish at the side of the road to make people wonder how there can be fish roadkill.
I kind of want to do that now.
That one's pretty out there, and I don't really understand it, and I kind of like it. So what do you think, man? What's your favorite?
I think there's more than that, isn't there?
That's all that came up with my search.
Does it only go back so far?
Oh, wait. Let's try all tweets. Oh, yeah, there's a lot more here. I've heard that Jason double dips his chips when at parties.
Fact.
Yep.
I'm entitled.
Yep, you are. Okay. Another one from Seth. Rob has adopted the phrase totes jelly. He's even developing a game about catching jellyfish with peanut butter. That's pretty good.
That is good.
That is pretty good. Let's see. More from Bo. Did you guys hear that Rob and Jason actually invented podcasting? It was their first pitch challenge. Also, Rob has meticulously crafted every intro to sound like he messed it up, which means he executed it perfectly. That's true.
That is true.
Did anyone else hear Jason and Rob are not actually two people, but are just Jason Tagmeier doing two voices? That's great.
That's really good.
That's really great.
Who was that?
That was Bo again.
That's awesome.
Oh boy. Okay, so that's everything that came up for me.
Was that Phantom Nimbus, Bo Severson?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Bo, who we met at Gen Con this year. Unfortunately, right. Bo already has a copy of the CCG.
He does.
So I don't think he's eligible to win here. I like Seth's Totes Jelly.
That's a good one. Yeah. So.
But then again, oh boy, Fish Roadkill's good too.
It is. I think I like Totes Jelly better.
I think I do too.
And Senior Bob also got a copy.
That's true.
At the thing.
That's
so,
true.
At Gen Con.
So I think that's our winner.
Okay.
Seth Goslin, at Seth Goslin, Goslin, at Pulley Design has adopted the phrase Totes Jelly. He's even developing a game about catching jellyfish with peanut butter. I think, Seth, you are our winner.
Yes.
Our first BTG Rumors winner.
So, Seth, send an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com with your address, and we will have a game crafter send you a copy. Indicate in there if you want it right away, or if you're not coming to Grand Con, if you'd like to wait for the two Grand Con promos, we will have those sent out to you after Grand Con, only because we don't want to reveal those ahead of time.
Right.
So, not that we don't trust you, but we don't trust you. So, not that we don't trust you, but it may not be as important to you that it stays secret as it is to us. So, Right. Yes.
So, yeah, so congratulations. Thanks for tweeting, and everybody else in the future, keep it up. Keep tweeting your BTG, hashtag BTG Broomers, and we'll pick another winner, after Grand Con or something.
Yeah, sometime after Grand Con.
Yeah.
We probably won't be super formal about it,
right.
But it's fun, and we'll do it sometimes, and we'll send you free prizes. Won't always be copies of the CCG.
We'll see what else we can
find. Could be Water Balloon Washout, could be something else. If we get any publishers out there who want to, or designers who have extra copies of their game, want to throw a game at us,
yep.
We would be happy to
do that. We'd love to do that,
yeah. That'd be fun. We got two voicemails that we're going to play here. And I'm not sure they're from, but they are from the same person, it looks like. So if I had to guess, I'm going to predict based on the phone number. I'm going to predict and say that it's our friend Lenny or Wexford. That's my guess.
Okay. Who we also saw at Gen Con.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if he sent us a message while he was on his way.
Oh, maybe.
I know he does that sometimes.
That could be.
BTG, Lenny Wexford here. It's been a long time to listen. Mostly because of life and but you guys understand that. So I'm listening to episode 162, I think it is, where you guys are talking about interaction, you know. And I have a few comments. Interaction goes two ways, so when you don't play the email or message, then it does feel like it is. But I do see that there's a lot of listeners information coming up in the next couple of episodes. So the only thing I'm saying here is completely whacked out, and I don't know what I'm talking about because, you know, I haven't listened in 2 months, a month and a half. Anyways, I'm going to Gen Con. Hopefully I'll get the BCCCG while I'm there and, you know, still digging the show. Have a good time, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
There was the first one from Mr. Wexford. That tells me the second one is from him also, which this one I am guessing is actually him driving to Gen Con, because I got it while we were at Gen Con, and I was like, who's calling us while we're at Gen Con?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw the number, and I thought, I think that's Len. So, yeah.
BG Linear Works, what's going on, guys? Back from Gen Con, my 7-hour adventure. Got to see you guys there. Sorry we couldn't talk longer. Looking forward to Grand Con. So, my last message that I left yesterday, which this can totally just kind of like, I erased it and putting this over it. We talked about your guys' communication episode. It was actually 160, not 162. I'm currently on 162, which is the second episode where we're replying to the communication from the first episode. I have a backlog here, and I talked to you guys a little bit about that thing. I use Stitcher. It'd be better if I use Stitcher, although I do have Podcast Addict now, which I'm totally using. Long story short, show's great. I like the interaction now. Overall, I don't think it's ever really completely went away from it. I think life got crazy there for a while with the vacations and stuff. But I like the way it's going. And, you know, yeah. Good show. Later.
All right. Thanks, Len.
That's Len. Hey, Len, so let me explain to you guys why these messages from Len are good messages and why these are the type of messages you should leave. Those messages are both about a minute long, which is perfect because it's easy for us to get those in the show.
Yeah.
So thank you, Len. Those are good messages. And yeah, we did get to see Len for just a few minutes at Gen Con, but he took time out so he could meet us and get the CCG. Cool.
But his daughter pulled him away because she wanted to go see the Dalek.
She did want to see the Dalek, yeah. Yeah, because there was a person in a Dalek, like, driving it around.
I actually saw two different ones over the course of the weekend. Two different people moving around in a Dalek.
Wow.
They were both really good, but one of them was amazing.
The other two costumes I saw there that brings us up there were crazy was the one that got best in show. I don't know what it was. It looked like maybe it was like one of the bad guys from WoW, but it was like a knight and he was like 12 feet tall.
Oh, it was the guy with like the big orange like cracks and stuff in the orange and yellow cracks. No,
this was like a 12 foot tall knight.
Really?
Like literally 12 feet tall. Like he was on stilts, but you couldn't tell. It just looked like his armor. He had this massive staff. It was insane. His armor was all black.
Yeah.
Maybe he was supposed to be like a ring wraith or something. I don't know. Like, maybe he was like the, whatever, the king of the ring wraiths.
Sure.
His name is. The Lich King? Witch King.
Witch King, yeah.
But it was amazing. And then someone, and this did not, that one won Best in Show. This one did not win, probably because it was more of a vehicle than a costume, but it was a freaking Jawamobile. What is that called?
Sandcrawler.
Sandcrawler.
I did see that one. That was rad.
That's insane.
That was really good.
Someone's inside just driving that thing around.
Yeah, that was really good.
I also saw this girl dressed as a steampunk angel, and that was really cool. Like, it was like mechanical
wings. I saw a picture
wings.
Of her, but I didn't see her in person.
It was impressive in person.
Yeah, I was bummed. I was not around at all during most of the cosplay stuff that was going on.
Yeah, I didn't see as much this year as normal, but I think it's for the same reason. So.
Sure.
So we have a few Twitter questions. We
do.
Roll,
yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah, just a couple. Let me hit these up
this
here.
Might be a little shorter episode, guys.
So, Chris Kobach says, when will I get back to eating and sleeping normally post Gen Con? It always takes me about a week because I come back and then I have to work that week. And then it's the following weekend that I'm able to get caught up and back on track. So that's how it goes for me.
Indeed. Yeah. It can be really rough getting back on track from that.
Mm-hmm. TC Petty the third says, when will Eurogame Simulator, the Eurogame, be released? Well, that's going to be the sequel to Card Game Simulator, the card game, and I'll need a publisher to pick up Card Game Simulator first
before
I really can justify making a sequel to a game. Because I can't really make a sequel to a game that never got published, you know?
Right. You could. That would be kind of cool.
It would be maybe even more bizarre.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Which isn't necessarily bad.
Yeah. Last one. This is from Doug Hetrick. Doug says, when will you guys actually prepare for a recording session?
Ha, we did.
Yeah.
We did prepare for two recording sessions in a row, but we like to ask for questions as well. We noticed we didn't need topics from you guys. Well, this topic ended up being just the questions. That wasn't the plan. We have topics in reserve now. We have lots of topics.
We actually prepared for this like an hour in advance.
Which compared to 15 minutes is...
Which is pretty good for us.
We feel really good about that.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yep. Trying to think if there's any other Gen Con experiences we wanted to throw out there that were awesome or not awesome. I can't think of anything else.
It was real hot.
It was always hot at Gen Con.
Really hot.
Every place was hot unless you went into the open hallways and then it was better.
I feel like the BO level was higher than usual.
Yeah. I was walking by someone on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Thursday morning. Like, dude, right. You should have showered before you came here. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not asking a lot. It's just being polite to your fellow humans.
Right. I think that was abnormally high this year. The hotel elevators, only one broke down during the convention, and it was only broken for like half a day. So that was great.
Several escalators that were broken. You know, one other thing that, this is something, maybe if you're a listener and you're willing to stand in line and or willing to like understand why people do, again, Fantasy Flight Games, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a line that I bet was 400 people long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not even thinking that may be undershooting it, right?
Sure.
Thursday morning, 400 people. What's up with that?
Well,
Who wants to spend Gen Con standing in line for like 3 hours to get something? Like, what are you trying to get that you can't buy on Amazon like a month from now?
Right. Or at your local game store.
Right. Yeah. Are you planning to get it and resell it? Because if you're going to get it and resell it for like $400 and that's going to cover your Gen Con trip, good for you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't get it.
I'm not that into anything, but you know, but I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that hardcore into anything so much so that I want to stand in lines like that for when there's so much other stuff going on and so much other stuff I could be seeing. I don't know. But you know what? But then again, there are a lot of Fantasy Flight games that I've never played. So maybe they're all super fun and I'm missing out. I don't know.
There was one year when the ticket lines were long for some reason. It was before they kind of had their crap together with how they did it this year.
Yeah.
And I there was an event. I think I was there with you and I was like, I got to go to this event. And then I saw the line and said, I don't want to go that bad. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't go to the event because of that.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but I mean, that's how much I don't like standing in line for no reason.
Yeah.
Anyways, so attendance at Gen Con, by the way.
Yeah, like over
61,000.
Yeah.
When we started going, it was about 30,000. And that is crazy.
That's crazy. That's a lot of people.
It's been that many. Yeah. So.
Oops, I almost... Oh, phone's fine. Not broken. Okay.
So, yeah.
Get that out of your way. Yeah.
Not to break anything.
Right.
So, Rob's going to pitch a game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this game, this is one that I came up with a couple 3 weeks ago, been chewing on, but since we were doing that auto polo challenge, I didn't pitch it, and I mentioned it at Gen Con in our live show. So this game is called The Inexorable March to the Grave, and this is another one of those white whales. You know, I talked about that a few weeks ago. But there's just some things that are always in the back of my head that I just want to try and figure out. That was with, you know, Rogue Scholar was one of those to try and pitch. So this one, not this name, but the kind of the structure. So the setup here, this is a two-player game. And the idea is that the players are gods, I guess, for lack of a better term. Some kind of, one is a force for good and one is a force for evil. Or maybe we don't even want to be that specific, but their goal is to influence people, people who they don't have any direct control over. But they're trying to influence people to turn their lives in the direction of their own agendas. Okay, and they want to have put the most influence upon those person by the time they die, so that they can collect their soul. All right.
Right.
Okay. So simple situation is good and evil gods. One wants everybody to be good. One wants everybody to be evil, so that when their time comes, they will be able to collect their soul. So simple setup there. Okay. So in this game, there are 6 character cards. Okay, and each of the 6 character cards I have a value on them from 2 to 7. Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, and those are laid out on the table in front of you. Each player then has a supply of cubes in their color, call it black and white. And we'll say there's 30 cubes each. That might be a little bit too much, but whatever. Then there's also a separate deck of cards, and there are 52 cards in this deck. There are 50 cards in this deck. And then there are six more cards that have the same card back as these that match the faces of the characters. Okay? So, and then the face of the deck, we're going to call this the time deck, right? So there's the characters and there's the time deck, and there are additional character cards that go into the time deck. The time deck, the face of every card in the time deck just has a clock face on it. And this represents the movement of time. Time moves, is always moving forward. You can't stop time. So first thing you do is you take the character cards, that are to go in the time deck, and you mix them up, and you take one, you pull one out, and you put it in the box, and you don't know, you don't look at that card, you don't know what it is. So
one of the people will not die during the game.
Exactly right. One of these people will not die during our period of influence. Then what you do is you you count out, for right now I'm thinking 10 cards, but mm-hmm. that's something we talked about, and it needs to be talked about more. So you would then, so you have 50 of these time cards, and you make five piles of 10. You shuffle one of the character cards into each of those 10 piles, and then stack them up in whatever order you want. Okay? So now you basically have a stack of 55 cards. 50 time cards and 5 characters. One of the characters is not in there. All right. And you put that stack face down. Now, players then each take 3 cubes to start with in their color, and play starts. On your turn, you have a total of 5 action points to spend. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But every time you spend an action point, you have to flip over a card from the time deck. Okay, you have to reveal one card.
Right.
And so if you're going to spend 1 point in your turn, you have to flip one card. If you're going to spend 3 points in your turn, you got to flip 3 cards. Okay, and mm-hmm. so on. There are 4 tiers, 4 different ways to spend your points, and they cost 1, 2, 3, or 4 points. Right now, I don't have a 5-point option.
Okay.
You don't have to spend all 5 points, but you always have to spend at least 1 point. Okay.
Right.
So, start of your turn. So, you've got your 3. At start of the game, you know, let's say you start with 2. Start with 2. Because at the start of every turn, you're going to collect 2 for free.
Right.
You're going to get 2 for free at the start of every turn. Okay. So, and the first thing you do is you place whatever cubes you've acquired at the start of your turn. And any cubes you have left over from your previous turn. Because you only ever place cubes at the start.
Right.
Then you can spend your points. So your options are, you can spend 1 point to remove an opponent's cube from a character. And basically what you're doing is you're taking your cubes, when you're placing them, you're putting them on one of the 6 faces, one of the 6 character cards that's face up on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for 1 point, you can remove one of your opponent's cubes from one of the character cards.
Right.
Okay. If you want to spend 2 cubes...
2 points.
Excuse me. Thank you. 2 points. Spend 2 points, you can remove one of your opponent's cubes from the character and replace it with one of your own cubes from the general supply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is not one that you had to purchase on this turn. It's a free one, basically.
It's like a swap.
It's a swap. It's a swap, though, that doesn't diminish the stuff that you've collected separately.
Right. And anything you remove of theirs goes back to the
pot. Goes back to the supplies, not go back to their, right, to their hand.
Because that would be stupid.
We'll call it a hand, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a hand of cubes, for lack of a better term, right? So there's this general supply and then there's your hand. All right. You can spend 3 cubes to draw, 3 points to draw 3 more cubes from the supply into your hand.
Yep.
You'll be able to place those on your next turn.
Yep. The start of the next turn.
Right. Or you can spend 4 points to move up to 3 of your cubes out on the table. Did we say 3 or did we say 4?
I think it was 4.
Were
actually.
We going to do 4? Okay.
Yeah.
Cause we did the math on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it was trying to make it be the best deal possible.
Yeah. Right.
So, which means, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically cubes that are already on cards, you pay 4 to shuffle those however you want. Up to 4 of them can move from one card to another in any order.
Like in any order.
If there's 4 on one card, on separate cards, you can move them all to 1. If there's 4 on one, you can move another. If there's 2 on 2 and 2 on another, you can move those to a
any
third
arrangement
card.
You want.
Yeah.
Right. So, so 4 points for that. Now, at some point, eventually, one of you is going to flip over a card and reveal a face.
Right.
A character. And that means that character's dead. That character dies. Now, and then the player who revealed that card takes that character card and all the cubes that are on there.
Right.
They get the face value of that card, which is, again, 2 to 7 points. Plus, they get bonus points for any of their opponent's cubes that are on that card when they take it.
Which is a nice scoring mechanic. I like that. Yeah. Instead of your own, it's your opponent's.
Right. Yeah. Any of your cubes that you got go back to the main supply. You keep your opponent's cubes for scoring down the road.
Yep.
Okay. That means you've taken some cubes away from your opponent's economy.
Right.
Which might... Yeah, and again, that's why I say maybe 30 cubes is too many.
Yeah. It'd be cool if that had an influence on their economy.
I would like that,
that's
yeah.
It's kind of neat. Not a huge influence, just enough to make them be like...
Those late game decisions might be a little tight. Right. Right. So that's what so I'm thinking maybe we could then 25 or even 20 cubes. That has to be playtested.
And now, as you're spending cubes... Mm-hmm. Like for each type of action you take. So mm-hmm. when I take a remove action, I say I take three remove actions and spend 3 points on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I flip three cards before yeah. I move to the next type of action. Correct?
Right. Right.
That way that's happening mid turn. It right. makes you really, at least when we played it, it really makes you think about what actions you want to take and when.
Right. Because just because a character flips over and dies doesn't mean your turn's over.
Right.
Yeah. So you can still keep going. And then any cubes that you've collected during your turn, of course, you carry over to the next start of your next turn, and you get two more cubes. So you could theoretically have five cubes to place at the start of a turn.
Yep, and that's okay.
Yeah, and that's fine. Right.
Now, what about 5 points?
Now, 5 points, and we should say, so the game ends when the time deck runs out or the last character card is revealed.
Yeah.
Which, probably last character card would happen before the deck runs out.
Unless it happened to be the last card in the deck, which right. is unlikely. Well, right. 1 in 10 chance.
Right, yeah. So, and that's the end of the game. And then whichever player has the most points is the winner. They've influenced the most people toward their side of the spectrum. And that's how they win. And I think it'll play pretty quick, pretty simple.
So... But one thing that I thought we talked about, or I just thought of this, and if I didn't, it's a great idea. You can love it and have it. But I thought one of us said, it just came up in my head, but that for 5 points on your whole turn, you could spend 5 points mm-hmm. to flip cards until you get to the next phase.
We did not talk about that.
That's an interesting idea, though, isn't it? Because it's risky, right? Because you don't know what phase is coming up next. Because remember the issue I was having with was every card 10 cards apart. Basically, they would never come up my turn. They came up always on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
So what that meant was I never had good stuff on my turn.
What if we made it? What if we made the 5 point option is to actually flip six cards? What if we did it like that?
I think it needs to be seven. Otherwise, it's not worthwhile. I'm going to flip five cards no matter what. Why would I spend my whole turn to flip one bonus card?
Okay, seven then, because I'm not sure that I like it until a face comes up, but I like there still being a little bit of risk in it. So seven, I think then is maybe more reasonable.
Okay,
yeah,
because the idea for me is mm-hmm. I spend a turn, I remove two of your cubes, I buy three cubes. Next turn, I get two cubes. Now I have five cubes. I place them, and then I spend 5 points to burn so I can get to something, so that hopefully. What will come up is one of the ones I'm controlling.
Well, we should test that then.
So
we should
just
test that.
And maybe that's too much, but I mean, seven is pretty much effectively the same thing. There's just a little risk in it. So maybe seven's good. Maybe you just say go with seven and sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't, but it gives you a little more control.
Yeah.
Because that was the only critique I had of the game was basically what happened was you trounced me.
I did. And that was just because of the shuffle.
Yeah. I mean, just the way it happened to go, I would take my turn. I would spend five. I would flip five. Nothing happened. You would flip five. Someone would die. But well, of course, on your turn, it's the best time for someone to die because you have the best chance to have control.
Because you've
just
placed cubes, right?
And that literally, I think I got one out of six, and it was
At that time it was only five.
But still, yeah, I got trounced bad because of that, and there was no coming back from that. And one of the things you talked about, and I don't know if you just said here, but you talked about before, was assigning a point value to each character.
Yeah, so we didn't do that before, but I did add that here for this pitch.
Okay, and I just missed that when you were saying it.
And that absolutely would need to be a thing.
Yeah, because that's...
Right.
And the cool thing about that is you could have a 7-point guy who never comes up because he's the guy who got away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, love it.
Yeah.
It's a fun game.
It worked okay. I think with these changes it'll work better, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the result is.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's just a real simple little two-player kind of back and forth thing. But a fun experiment. And it's one of those things that I've been toying with for a couple of years now, just trying to think about, you know, you've got death is always coming for you, and you've got these innocent people that you're trying to move around and influence them. You know, you're not moving characters. You're trying to affect their actions in some way.
Right.
And this is kind of a drilled down, simplified version of some of the stuff I was experimenting with before. So honestly, I would really like the game to come with minis, you know? So instead of character cards, you'd have minis of these people.
Oh, just be piling up things around them?
Yeah, right.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's ridiculous and totally unnecessary expense. Yeah,
but it's cool, though.
That's what I see in my mind. And I really want to... So what I'd really like to do is somehow be able to get a death card into the time deck. And so when the face of death comes up, something happens that could screw with everybody, but I have no idea what that thing could be.
Yeah.
You know, because
that might be a good thing to add once the base game works really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then throw that in to try to, you know,
I mean, I realize this is very morbid.
Yeah. You know what you could have to make it a little lighter? You could have a death card. You could have an angel card, right?
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
When those come up, so assuming one's a negative energy and one's a positive energy, uh-huh. right? Or however you want to say that. Making the angel with a positive, the death of the other. Something good happens for you when that card comes up. Mm-hmm. And that literally could be anywhere in the deck, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, you'd have to shuffle that in before sorting out your 10.
Yep, but how cool would that be, right?
Yeah.
Like, so when that comes up, maybe you pick one and you automatically take control of that one or something, or mm-hmm. do something like, you know... You know what would be cool? If when that came up, you could reverse the cubes that are on there, right? So if you've got four on one and I have one, we reverse those. Now I have four and you have one.
That could be neat, yeah.
So it's like kind of like a angelic or demonic bazinga.
Yeah, that could be neat. So, that could be really neat.
Maybe it has too much randomness. And maybe that could be an optional, like a little two-card optional thing to throw in if you wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but anyway, I mean, so that's generally the idea.
Right.
I imagine it being like if this works, this is definitely gonna be the next thing I put on Game Crafter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
It's super
sure.
easy.
It's super easy.
You could even do it with miniatures on Game Crafter if you wanted to.
I could if I wanted to. Yeah. So. I mean, I imagine all the art just being stark black and white.
Yep.
You know, no, not even any shades of gray. It's 100% black and white stuff. I think that could be really fun and
I think that's real cool.
An interesting look to it.
Yeah.
Bold and dark and. Yeah.
Cool. It was fun. I'll definitely try it again when you get the next one. And you and I were talking, we're gonna try and do some more lunch play tests, and maybe we'll try and record those if we can. We're just not play testing enough. And you and I have both been working on smaller games. There's no reason why we can't be testing those
on lunch.
True. Absolutely.
True.
It's stupid that we're not. Yeah. It's wasteful. So we're gonna start doing that, darn it.
Gosh darn it.
So yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I think that's all we got for
tonight. That's enough. Okay, thanks everybody for listening once again. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you know the spiel. Send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlinger9 @poorly_design. Like us on Facebook. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Come to the website, buildinggamepodcast.com. Call our Google voice number. It's 770-TEL-BTG. Enter the contest, #BTGGrand. Tweet a picture of you packed and ready to go to Grand Con. You can win 2 free badges and 2 free t-shirts. Grand Con is September 25th, 26th, and 27th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's going to be a blast. We're super pumped about it. Always send us questions using #BTGQuestions and spread horrible rumors about us using BTG rumors. Have I forgotten anything?
Not that I didn't forget as well.
Okay, thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
What I kind of felt this year more than ever before is that, like, I've thrown away prototypes for games that are better than games that are for sale on the floor of Gen Con.
We all have.
You know?
We all have.
And so it's...
And that's not even, like, being, like, snooty to say that.
Right. And so knowing that, and then it really is connections.
Yeah.
Because how good your game is really doesn't have anything at all to do with whether you're going to get published or not. I mean, it helps.
It helps, but it's not the whole thing.
But
no.
it's maybe 15% of that equation.
So
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It really changes the landscape a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
It does. It opens a lot of doors, right?
It does.
So,
It really
anyways,
does.
We should record the show now.
Yeah, okay. So anyway.
That's my version of the old song.
The old song, right.